I'm Paula Gordon. We're delighted that you are here. We are with Thomas Lux and Bruce McKever. Tom, when I was in college, accessible was important, and relevant was one of those big words.
Right. Well, I actually prefer the word that Billy Collins uses. He calls his poems, or he wants his poems to be hospitable.
Oh, how nice.
There's a kind of, to me, a complete inaccessibility is kind of rude to the reader. It's kind of rude to expect somebody to try to beat their way through a knotty thicket when there really isn't anything behind it or in it anyway. So Primo Levi said, to write deliberately, obscurely, is a kind of pre-suicide, a kind of not wanting to be. And then he said, besides that, it's rude. And I believe that. That doesn't mean poetry can't be complex and rich and original and an incredible diversity and things like that. But if it doesn't let the reader in enough, I always say that in quotes, enough, it doesn't mean a poem has to be easily or simply paraphrasable. If we could paraphrase a poem, we don't need the poem. But if it does not have some kind of respect or hospitality towards the reader, then the reader won't read it, or most readers won't. And
there's a sort of I'm looking for gentle words here. A syllogism, a narcissistic quality, I guess, is the way to say. If you write something that somebody's never going to read, and you write it for yourself, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. But don't expect me to read it.
Right. Well, don't expect me to read it too hard or spend too much, hurt my brain too much if there isn't anything really there to find. I mean, if there's a lot of great poems, if you read them, and difficult poems, and they do kind of yield, they let yourself in, but there are also poets who write completely arbitrarily, and it's just their mind kind of going. They might be brilliant writers and brilliant human beings, but they're essentially free associating, and they call that a poem. And to me, that's not enough. That's just not enough.
What's
it's
enough,
too easy.
Tom? What's enough?
Well, I want some enough accessibility. I want music. I want originality. I want energy. I want something that's fresh and original. I want to move the reader. I want to make the reader laugh sometimes and snatch that laugh out of their throat. I want to make them weep sometime and make them cry and laugh in the middle of that weeping. I want it something that's human and alive. And I want it in the poetry I read. I want to be able to recognize it. What's human and alive about this? What's recognizably, you know, human about this that I can relate to in some way as a reader?
You made it possible for us to get to know in public Robert Bly. And he's counted one of his books, he's titled one of his books, My Sentence Was 1,000 Years of Joy, which has just rung in my head like a bell on good days and bad days. My sentence was 1,000 years of joy. Well, that kind of, for me, summarizes, oh, that's poetry. Oh, I get it.
I would like it to be joy, even if it's, there's all sorts of poems that are sad, elegies and things like that. But the mere act of making something is an affirmative act. It's a positive act. An act of creation is by nature against an act of destruction or death. So it's not that poems have to be happy, 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 I do want them to reflect what's in the world, what's, again, human and alive.
Bruce McKever, you are a businessman, and you travel the world, and you have a very complex life, and as you say, your late wife, you had to suffer through the loss of the most loved one, and you have another wife now who is also a beautiful person. This human experience, you could have done quite nicely without writing poetry or reading poetry or caring about poetry. And yet, doesn't it perhaps add a dimension that you are able to take these experiences into places that then give me access to knowing a little more about both you and about life in general?
Well, I think poetry is really powerful in that it is the only tool that we really have, maybe through painting and music, but really the only direct tool we have to paint the interior landscape. And that makes it very powerful. You know, if we think of the cosmos and the universe, we are very insignificant creatures. And really, we are out of control of things. We are in another power. It's not really our plan. You learn that when somebody dies. And we as humans try to gain control of things. We try to control things. And one way, and the most powerful way to regain control of a loss or something like that is to try to write about it finally when you can. And that's what poetry is. And it's also the joy and everything else that you can scoop up interiorly. And you're trying to share that with somebody else. And I love what Tom talks about accessibility. You know, if you can't get that to someone, you know, what I'm really trying to do in a way is throw an emotional grenade in somebody's heart.
Oh, thank you very much, whether I want it or not.
No, but I'm really trying to grab you because I'm trying to share an experience with you in writing a poem. And some of them work and some of them don't. And someone's attention, to get someone's attention, but on a real level, to share sadness or joy or, you know, a sunset or something that you're doing. There's just no other tool that is so accessible on a human level. And it goes back so far. Tom knows this history better, but in early societies, poetry was much more venerated than it is now. In fact, you couldn't be an Irish king if you were not a poet, you know? Yeah. David was a poet. And
King David, that's right.
I mean, he wrote the Psalms and whatever, Hebrew Bible. I mean, this goes back a long way, you know. They weren't writing them down yet. No, these were a lot of it was verbal. That's the thing. So much of early Greek and a lot of the philosophy and everything was all verbal. People did not write it down. Oh, sure. And so these things were spoken but I don't think there's a dichotomy between being a business person and a poet. I think it's being able to express yourself and wanting to express yourself and wanting to share that. Yeah. That's what I feel.
One of the things Bruce always told me about his business is that what he likes best is getting the people together, getting the right match of the right people to make deals, right? Make a deal. And that's very similar to making a poem. They're both creative acts. They're both acts of making. Bringing together different elements and it makes something whole. In this case, a kind of a business, a deal arrangement. And the other thing we both do is, poems. I don't see a dichotomy. Part of my mission at Georgia Tech has been to make that point over and over again, that there isn't any contradiction between engineering, say, or business, say, and poetry. They can exist, coexist, and they could even strengthen each other.
You both are pretty evangelical about poetry.
Well, cut me and I'll bleed poetry.
Well, that he does.
Well, you've been writing it and teaching it and proselytizing poetry for a long time, Tom. And you, Bruce, have made it possible. I mean, you literally put your money where your mouth is on this. Are you trying to create a need or are you meeting a need?
No, I'm. I'm trying to give back. I'm fortunate enough to be able to do that. But this, our school, Georgia Tech, is a cultural wasteland, or was a cultural wasteland, and it needed something. There were no electives when I was there, and what I was trying to think what they need. And they come to you, and they say, you know, we want a building and another building, you know. But that wasn't it. What it really needed was it needed a richness. It needed an enriching. And it's also, as I go back to the poet kings of Ireland or whatever, engineers aren't worth a damn if they can't write. If you can't get an idea across, you've got to put it in a memo. You've got to be able to succinctly put your idea down and get that across. And if you're an engineer, a great engineer, you can have, you know, if you can't communicate that to somebody, either verbally or in written form, you're not worth a damn. So, and what I'm trying to make these, I'm trying to help these guys who are really intelligent guys and girls at much more effective people. And I think also poetry just enriches your life because it focuses you on looking, it focuses your attention.
Yeah.
Poetry, like nothing else, the playing with words, Tom and I are like, he teaches me, we're like cobblers. And you go in there and you move this word, you move that word, and suddenly hours are gone and you don't know where they went. And I go, this is taking up so much time to write this thing. It was one little, I'm going, where did it go? But it was an absolute joy putting that together.
We're going to be cobblers together in just a moment. Be with us when we return. Thomas Lux, Bruce McKeever, I, Paula Gordon, and we'll all be back. We hope you will be too.